Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and I have the great pleasure to record an interview for Morning Show Airplay with Lori Claussen, a good friend of mine. And folks who have listened to The Morning Show over the years will recognize her as the woman who is walking across America. She came through Sandpoint in 2019, and we recorded an interview with her then. And last year in 2024, we caught up with her when she was yet then in New York. And now, not to give away the finish, but she's completed her walk. And so we're going to check in with Lori and take a retrospective look at the entire endeavor. Welcome to the show, Lori.
Thanks, Phil. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And again, longtime listeners will know we're friends and I've been involved with some of this. So I'm going to play dumb, though, as if I weren't involved for the most part. Don't go, you know all those answers, Phil. Assume that the listeners want to hear them as well. Give us a little bit of the basics. How did the idea generate itself? Where did it come from?
Well, I originally had a few years back, many at this point, walked the Camino de Santiago in Spain and loved it. And then I just thought I should walk across America because I had such a good time in Spain. And I'd like to see my own country. So that's how it got started.
You chose a route that is, others have walked across America and done similar routes, but different. You chose a route of your own design. Where did you come up with the idea to go from and let the listeners hear in your own words from and to?
Well, I started in Vancouver, Washington, in front of the hospital where I was born. And then I was talking to a mutual friend who said, well, then you should finish in Bangor, Maine, in front of the hospital where I was born. And that's where the endpoints were established. And then I wanted to stay north because theoretically it's a lot cooler in the summer in the north than it is where I live in Phoenix. Sometimes that didn't quite prove out, but that was the thought process. And then I broke it down and picked my way across with a general idea of where I wanted to go, with suggestions from people about, what they would recommend in terms of sights to see and that sort of thing. So
Now, you didn't do this as start in the spring and finish in the fall in one year. You did this in segments. Tell us
yes,
about that.
I did do it in segments, 46 segments, as a matter of fact. And just basically because I could only afford to take, chunks of time off to do a portion of it. And I don't think my body would have been up to it either, although I did a lot more miles in the initial days. But it worked out well that way, and it was just my way of doing it. I would work in between segments so I could afford this expensive hobby. And I have no regrets about how I chose to do it, although people think I'm a little bit crazy for the way I did it. But
What year
that's.
did you start?
I started in 2017 and just finished almost 8 years later.
8 years later. And so roughly six, five, six segments a year.
Roughly, yes. A total of 366 days walked.
366, almost exactly a full year. Isn't that interesting?
Or a leap year.
A leap year, yes. Yeah. A giant leap. Across America. Now, for each segment, you went about it again. There's ways you could do that. You didn't necessarily walk from point A to point B in a segment. You had to deal with the transportation issue. Tell us a little bit about the logistics of each segment's walk.
Well, at the beginning, I had to walk. I would rent a car and I would park it at one end, walk out, and then turn around and walk back. I would say walk 7 miles forward and 7 miles back, but only making 7 miles forward progress. I did that for probably the first 7 or 8 segments. And then people started really looking at me funny and saying, well, why don't you get rides? I mean, Ubers isn't everywhere in Washington, in the farm country, in Idaho and Montana and South Dakota. In fact, it's almost never anywhere.
What did you say?
Uber. Uber. It's this weird
Uber.
new invention. Yeah. So anyway, I just, I'm not complaining. Everybody was complaining to me that I was dumb for not finding some way to move myself forward faster. I didn't really care. I wasn't sure if I was ever going to finish anyway. I just liked being out there. But then eventually enough people took pity on me and said, I'll sign up to crew you for a segment. And many people did. And it turned out to be a fun way to make progress and all forward progress.
So initially, you were doing almost two walks, one forward, one in reverse. Walking across America twice would take an awfully long time. But I think the interesting thing here that I take away from this is the emphasis on the journey, the experiences, much as the forward progress of getting from point A to B and accomplishing a linear goal. Your emphasis really was on experiencing America as you walked across it. Is that somewhat right?
Yeah, that's totally right.
So we're going to delve into some of those experiences, but let's continue a little bit along, just fleshing out the whole journey and route and all of that. So if you started in 2017 and just finished, it's starting to seem like a distant memory, but the summer of 2020, the year after you went through Sandpoint, COVID hit. That had to change plans or at least alter your experiences. Tell us what that was like.
Well, mentally, it was hard to allow myself to get on a plane when they were telling everybody to stay home. But I did get on a plane, went to my guard, take my temperature at the airport, masking all the time. But I was out on the highway. I was alone. I wasn't endangering anybody. And nobody was endangering me. So the first trip was hard. There were a few more trips that, things got a little more relaxed as time went on. And but it was a unique experience just because of the protectiveness. For example, when I was walking across some of the Indian reservations in Montana, and they were almost hostile. In a couple of situations, because they didn't want me to be there. But I wasn't doing anything to anybody. I was just walking on the highway, which I had every right to do. So it was unique. And then, of course, it was hard to find a place to eat. And it was a different dimension of the walk. I was glad when things got, a little more relaxed and we got the vaccines and all of that.
Yeah, it would
So.
be interesting to see what your experience would be like across the same Indian reservations years after COVID, because to some degree, there's always been a suspicion of outsiders in rural America and Native reservations, and somewhat justifiably, but you might have gotten some of those same sidelong glances anyway.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Maybe I have to test that theory. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. So, how did things shift as you were going through state to state? Did you see some gradual transitions in your experiences, or were things sometimes more abrupt because either of the geographic location or temporal things like COVID?
I think the changes when you're going that slow are always more subtle than if you're driving through, right? Certainly the geography dramatically changed, which was fun. Southeastern Washington got a little boring just because there's nothing there. Same with parts of Montana and South Dakota, but I like that in some ways, so it wasn't a problem for me. But some of the best parts were, for example, walking across the Continental Divide, the Mississippi River, the ferry across Lake Michigan. I mean, some of these are places that I had never been, and they were definitely, points that I made sure I went to along the route and
Yeah,
forward.
you start to appreciate monikers like Big Sky Country. Montana's certainly Big Sky Country.
Yeah, definitely is big sky, big. It was like, I think the way I went, it was almost 800 miles, and it took a while.
It's a long state, east to west, west to east. Yes. And then the Great Plains, you cross those, and gradually things green up a little bit.
As soon as I got to Minnesota, it started greening up.
Yeah.
So, enjoyed that.
You started to notice a greater frequency of towns and things like that as you cross Minnesota, Wisconsin. Things started to shift a little.
Yeah, it did. And I was expecting it to be easier to find, places to stay. In Montana, I would, have maybe 100 miles in between places I could stay. And that's a lot of driving every day to get to my starting points and then getting back. But I didn't find that it was that much easier the farther east that I went to find places, which kind of surprised me. But it's what I had to deal with. I did. There's no way to predict that in my mind. I do a lot of this by looking at Google Maps and seeing where there is a motel in a small town that I'm going to be walking through or nearby, and just exploring to see what the options are and to see if I have one or two options at least of where to eat when I'm staying there. So all that, the logistics have been challenging.
Google's an amazing tool. It's not perfect, but it is something that 20 years ago, without it, it would have been a much more interesting challenge finding a route and finding places to stay and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could have done it without that tool. So,
And I remember when you first said you were going to cross Lake Michigan on a ferry, I kind of scratched my head and went, well, I didn't even know there was a ferry. But of course, we're far enough away from Lake Michigan. It would be easy to assume you have to either walk north or walk south, going across the Mackinac Bridge, or skirting Chicago. And of course, wanting to avoid Chicago is probably not a bad thing, the metropolitan area. So the ferry seemed like an elegant solution.
it was, and our mutual friend was the one that suggested it and was with me when I did do the ferry. In fact, we symbolically took it one day from the east side to the west side, had lunch, and went back in the same day. One of the funnest days I had on this whole walk. So yeah, that was a highlight.
You made a lot of miles for probably less footsteps.
Right. And it is, there is a on the map, it shows the highway going straight across the lake, across the water. So that was kind of fun. They were forward miles.
Having joined you in Wisconsin for your segment there and helping crew you right up to the western edge of that ferry, and then knowing something of Michigan, that seems to me like if a big change, like almost as if you're leaving the West or a Western mentality and entering an Eastern one. And it's as much the time zone shift as well as a feel. And certainly when you look at the map, it has that feel. I'm projecting. Did you experience some of that?
Yes, very much so. It was a palpable difference, and I've been searching my mind to pinpoint it, but it's a lot of subtle things. There's in general, I think the most compelling thing was that there are a lot more people on the east side of that lake, and you never get the feeling that you're alone completely, because you aren't. And I mean, there's a farmhouse frequently, even if you're out on a nice, peaceful road, there's always a farmhouse nearby. As opposed to Montana, South Dakota, you go for miles and miles without seeing anything. So that was a, that was interesting. It's just different. And then it's didn't there were a few choices, extra choices for host house, excuse me, hotels and places to eat, but the prices went up as well, so that was another difference. Very much surprising, unfortunately.
As
But
you travel through, I would call the eastern half of your trip, I thought your route did a great job of avoiding mostly metropolitan areas, but you can't avoid them all. So you ended up skirting through some of those, and tell us about that experience.
it was very stressful, quite honestly. But I made it, and I pressed through because I wanted to do a continuous line on my route. And that was a difficult thing to figure out, which way to walk through a city and how to cross interstates and where to cross them. And a lot of cities east of Lake Michigan have a lot of freeways, and it became a very stressful thing. Cleveland being the worst part of it. So yeah, I always tried to, I would go out of my way to avoid large metropolitan areas as much as possible. Yeah, so that's a note for a future reference for me that I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to walk through any more cities. So
Then after Cleveland, Buffalo, it seemed like things started to shift a bit more rural through upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire.
well, I don't know. I mean, the Empire State Trail system is really good. The Erie Canal Trail, which I took across the majority of New York, was lovely. But I could always hear the highway next to me. So, it's still, you never got that I'm out in the middle of the wilderness feeling. It got better in Vermont and New Hampshire. But you don't ever, I never got the feeling that I was alone in the wilderness or anything like that, like I did out west, except for maybe the exception of in New Hampshire on the Presidential Rail Trail. That one we got further away, from any traffic noise, and it was just beautiful. So
Northern New England has its own real small town charm.
I really enjoyed that. I had not spent any time in that area. I mean, a few days, a couple of times in my life, but it was really, really fascinating and fun to walk through that part of the country.
So I want to talk to you about the finish. The grand finale, but we should set that up and put it in some context. You had already determined a very specific time, date, and place.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to do on a hike like this. So just walk us a little bit through not just how you came up with that date, but sort of the whys, and then how did you make it work?
Well, I decided that I wanted to finish on my 65th birthday, and that's what I did. I orchestrated how many miles I did the last three or four segments to make sure that I had the time and the space to complete it without stressing myself too much, to get there on that date. And then I corralled a bunch of friends and had them come and meet me there.
Well, it was one way to make it a big party. Everybody could circle it on their calendar literally a year ahead, a year and a half
Yeah.
ahead. So, well, we know where we're going to be on July 18. We're going to be in Bangor and celebrating with Lori, and we can predict that 18 months away.
Yeah. I think it worked out fairly well.
Now, having been there, I'll say it worked out well from a participant, spectator, active participant standpoint. What was finishing the journey like for you?
It was exhilarating, the sense of accomplishment. But there was also a little bit of a sense of sadness that it was ending, but I didn't dwell on that. And it was great to be there with 25 of my best friends. So it was the best day of my life.
Yeah, it was very special to be part of, and to see the shared joy. And also, I think a shared sense of, this is over. A lot of us had been living either vicariously through your experience or had been coming out and helping to crew you for a segment or two. So it became a central part of my summers in 23 and 24 and 25. And I know I'm not alone in that. So, in a way, a lot of us finished the journey on that day.
So yeah, I hadn't thought about it from all of your perspective, that, so no more daily blog, no more
Yeah.
that, but end of a chapter.
Now we want to talk more about reflect on your trip a little bit more, but let's move to the obvious question, which is, one cure for that is having something next to fill the void. What's next?
Well, I think I'm relatively predictable in that I did announce at that party that I'm going to turn around and walk back. So, or to the extent that I can. I mean, I am 65 years old, and I have, put a little wear and tear on my body, and I don't know if I can make it back, but there's something freeing about starting another, long-term goal and being at the beginning. And like I did the first time, it doesn't matter if I don't get there. It's the journey, and it'll just unfold how it unfolds. So, but I allow myself more freedom to avoid what I call the icky parts, which would be the cities.
Cleveland.
So, yeah. Oh, Cleveland is not even close to where I'm going. It's a different route I'm taking back. So I would, sorry, but I will never go to Cleveland again.
On your walk east, you had a preconceived destination and a vague plan of how to get there. Tell us a little bit about your goals as you're formulating them here for your walk west, what they're oriented towards, at least.
I want to obviously see different things, and I'm going to go further north in search of that elusive coolness in the summer. I'm going to go through parts of Canada, and I'm really looking forward to that. I like the Great Lakes. I want to see as much of the Great Lakes as I can and take as many ferries as I can because I like those types of things. And I have grandiose plans of walking the Upper Peninsula and back across Montana, of course. And then I think I would finish in Vancouver again. But again, I said to myself that I wanted to do it in 5 years, but I don't think that that's necessarily achievable. But it'll be whatever it is.
It might be more disjointed too, it sounds like, if you skip the icky parts.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna kind of cherry pick a little bit in Maine for the first segment, and then just a little bit in New Hampshire, that presidential rail trail again, and then I'll start in Vermont, in the middle. Well, not in the middle. I'll go across Vermont,
I know a
and
number
then
of us
north.
are expecting you will come through Sandpoint, as almost all paths westward have to funnel through a low spot in the mountains, and that means both logistically probably Sandpoint. So we're going to look forward, if your goal is 5 years in 4 years' time, probably somewhere late in 2029, having you back on the show here live one morning.
Well, I'll put it on my calendar. But no, yes, I would go through Sandpoint even if it was out of the way. So it is definitely in my planned route.
Yeah. So when you reflect back on the walk you take and some of the things that you'd like to experience yet, what were some of the highlights? What were some of the things that you cherished from your walk?
I think the out west, the best part was that I enjoyed the solitude and being in nature, which of course that shifted once I went east of Lake Michigan, but that was very special for me. I discovered my love of farm equipment and just watching, farmers do what they do. And that I was amazed at myself that I could enjoy it so much, just being out there walking by myself. So that was very special for me. And then as I got more help, I wasn't as alone out there. So that was different. But that was my favorite part, I think, was being out west and enjoying, the natural beauty. But like I say, the milestones of the major crossings of things. I like crossing rivers, bridges. The Mississippi River was a big one for me.
Yeah, landmarks.
Yeah.
Important.
And just seeing it all and just noticing the subtle changes in attitudes of people, as well as the way they do things. I mean, they're not stark differences. We're all people and we're all more or less the same, but you do notice subtle differences, and that's interesting to me.
That's a lead into the next question, and that may be part of the answer, but what did you learn about America?
I say, just was great to see the different parts, the different geography, all of that, and notice the subtle differences in the people. But I keep coming back to, we are basically all the same, and there's good people everywhere. 99.9% of the people I encountered were what I would call good people. There were some exceptions, but you can find that anywhere. So I learned that about America, and I did get to see a lot and experience a lot, fun different places and restaurants, natural places, canal trails, all of that. That was just wonderful. Those are memories that are priceless. But the biggest thing I think wasn't what I learned about America, but it was what I learned about myself. So that was the best part.
Tell us more about that.
Well, it's hard. It's very personal, and it seems like it'd be obvious, but I learned that I'm very good with a long-term goal and sticking to it. And I apply that to any big objective that I have in life now, and I know how to attack it. And even though it seems larger than life, I know how to break it down into pieces and make my way through those pieces. So that was a valuable lesson to know that I could do it, and that I can do it again. So
Does seem somewhat intuitive. Did anything surprise you? Anything about again finding yourself, finding America? Anything that was really like, wow, I didn't expect that.
on a personal level, I was surprised at how emotional I got at times, remembering family members, friends that have passed. So that was, but it was a good place to cry. If you were going to cry out there, I was alone, and it was a good release. Big surprises? No, just some things I didn't like. This wasn't while I was on the walk, but recently I was in Minnesota and I went to Bemidji, and I had no clue that that's where the Mississippi River starts. So I was very excited as I remembered having walked across the Mississippi River in further southeast in Minnesota.
Check that one off. But it does seem like, in my experience, from my own personal experience and having a lot of friends who have done long walks, one of the commonalities of all of them is if you're out there walking all day towards whatever goal, you're spending a lot of time in your head, you know, a lot of time in your body, but that's also a release to go to places that you might not have otherwise visit in your own self. And
Yeah, walking is meditation for me. So I can walk through some really pretty ugly boring stuff and have a good time. So, and I don't usually I never used to really listen to a lot, like music or books or that. I do that more now, but I'm okay being alone in my own head. So that helps.
you encountered a lot of different people and a lot of different places. And any unique experiences you'd like to share? Any anecdotes?
Well, I remember when we were in Buffalo, and we saw a young man come in that had been, I think he had been riding a bike, and it was raining hard outside, and I wanted to buy him a drink, and I did, and he thanked me. He said he was from Florida, and I think we have a photo of him, he and I. That was fun. I mean, just to do something like that for a total stranger. I've also met I think he was Chinese. I didn't really ask. Out in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota, a young man was on a bicycle, and he saw me out there on the road walking, and he was so excited to see me because he hadn't seen anybody, not traveling in a car for a long time. And his English wasn't very good, but we had a fun time, trying to exchange with each other what we were doing, and that was fun. That was unique. And yeah, I mean, it's there's so much. There's just so much.
Those chance encounters are just an absolutely incredible gift of travel, any kind of travel, but
And that just, reinforces the idea that we are all basic human beings, and it's interesting to meet people that are not in your normal sphere. So.
so having had 8 years of experience walking one direction and now attempting to go the next way back, anything that you know now you didn't know when you started that you might use to do something different or use to suggest to other people who are considering a trip?
Well, the fact that I'm allowing myself to fast forward through metropolitan areas is huge for me. And if I stress, I remember in Montana, I believe it was, I came up, no, it was Washington. I came up on a series of tunnels that were very, very narrow. And it scared me because I didn't know how I could get through that tunnel without a car coming and I would have nowhere to go to avoid being hit. I mean, they had a light that you could press for the bikes to warn people that were driving through that there was a bike, nearby. And I could press that button, but I don't go as fast as the bikes. So I decided to just fast forward through that in some construction areas. And I'm happy to allow myself that freedom on the way back. But other than that, I'm just really looking forward to getting out there and just not worrying about being at a certain place at a certain time. And, it'll take me longer than 5 years, but I'm going to have a really good time doing it. So that's the important thing. And as far as advice to somebody that might be crazy enough to think of doing something similar, like I say, the main thing is if you choose a goal that's this big, break it down into segments, and that's the way to, then it's not such a big thing to have to accomplish each segment, because otherwise it's too big and you won't even try. And it is very true that the longest journey begins with just one step.
Yeah, some journeys really last a lifetime. It's just different permutations of them. Well, we're coming close to the end, and there's just a couple more things that I want to make sure we touch on, and then anything that we haven't asked that I haven't asked that you're interested in talking about is fair game. But you've touched on the food, and having followed your blog and been out on some of the trips, there are some regional opportunities, some regional differences. There's food along the way. And tell us about some of the highlights and lowlights, if you care to remember the lowlights.
Well, probably one of the only semi-negative things I could say about the Northwest, or more specifically Montana, would be that all I could encounter a lot of the time was fried, deep fried bar food. Salads were really hard to come by, and I do like salad. Burgers. I tried burgers all along the way, and I do think they were better in the Northwest. But I think it was in Wisconsin I had my first burger with peanut butter and jelly on it, which sounded awful, but it was actually quite good, and I'd have another one any time I got a chance. The French fries in the salad was a little weird. The poutine, dangerous. From a caloric standpoint, cheese curds, fresh cheese curds, squeaky,
Yeah.
not the deep fried ones,
What was
but
it? Chislak or
Chislic in South Dakota. Yes. I'm off to South Dakota in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be looking for Chislic.
yeah, tell our listeners what Chislak is for those who aren't from South Dakota.
It's just basically beef cut up into smaller pieces and fried on the griddle. And it's a something you find on most bar menus in certain parts of South Dakota. And it's very tasty.
Oh, yeah, there we have it. Chislik.
Chislic. And it's got a cool name.
Well, what have we missed? What would you like to share?
I had such a wonderful experience with this whole thing. I'm grateful to all my friends that helped me, because it would have taken me another 3 years to finish if I hadn't had that help. And it added a different dimension to the whole journey. And I will be eternally grateful to all of you, yourself especially included in that. And I hope that some will come back and meet me along the way on the way back.
I know for myself I'll be there, and I'm sure I speak for many others who say they will. There are a few people who could have gotten me on consecutive years to take a vacation in Cleveland and a vacation in Buffalo.
I promise I won't make you do that
But yes, but there are a few friends who could have introduced me to the Erie Canal, and I had my own special trip on that this summer, and that was a delightful thing to experience with you. And so there's so much out there in America that we don't know because we can't know at all. And only really when we thrust ourselves into the unknown do we find those really, to us, hidden gems.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, if you don't try, if you don't look, you won't find. So, and just be open and see what you see.
Well, once again, I want to thank you, Lori, for coming on the show with us this morning. Lori Claussen, who finished her walk across America this last summer on July 18 in Bangor, Maine, starting in 2017 in Vancouver, Washington, now will be starting on her way back across America next year, not in search of lost car keys or prescription glasses, but simply more adventures. And thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Phil.